Blog Talk Radio.
To be alerted of new episodes moments before we go on the air, be sure to follow at The Nicholas Snow on Twitter. To receive promotional videos about upcoming broadcasts and to be invited to special hangouts, follow us on Google Plus. This is the Snowbiz Now Entertainment Network, connecting the circuitry of humanity. The snowstorm begins now. It's time for Nicholas Snow Live. Yes, over 6 feet of snow has just hit your podcast experience. And here he is, having just drifted into the studio, Nicholas Snow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Nicholas Snow, and I am live. This podcast is going out live on January 21st, 2015 at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I do know most people listen to my podcast after the live broadcast. So whenever you're listening, thank you for that. The theme of today's episode, gay, spiritual, and religious. And with me on the show in about 10 to 15 minutes, I'll welcome author Jake Knight. Jake Knight knows about what he speaks. He's the author of two books, Seven Ways to Think and Feel Better and Deciding What You Want, both available on Amazon Kindle. My books are available on Kindle as well. So search for my author page. You'll hear more about at least one of my books later in the show. So I'm excited that I've returned to my almost daily broadcast. If you happen to be listening live on January 21st, you can give us a call at 347-215-8866. But more importantly, the reason I'm doing my show live almost every day is to really engage my worldwide audience. So I encourage you to follow me on Twitter at TheNicholasSnow and the Facebook page, facebook.com/NicholasSnowLive. So you'll know precisely when I'm going on the air and you'll be able to interact with me at the top of and during the show. Once I start getting more live callers at the beginning of the show, I'm going to have a hot topic section and we can all weigh in. So that's the news as it is now. And stay tuned because I'm going to have my event spotlight coming up. And after that, a very interesting interview with Jake Knight after this.
Imagine a world without HIV.
Imagine an AIDS-free generation.
Imagine helping to create it.
Imagine.
For more information about the annual Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards, visit DesertAidsProject.org, search Facebook for Steve Chase Humanitarian Awards, or search for the very powerful hashtag #ImagineNoAIDS.
Imagine.
Spotlight on Palm Springs.
Come to Lulu, the award-winning California bistro. Fabulous breakfast, a luscious three-course Sunday brunch, scrumptious dinners serving fresh fish, perfect steaks, pizzas, salads, and more. Something for everyone. A three-course special to savor from $15.99. The best all-day and night happy hour. There's always a party at Lulu in the heart of downtown Palm Springs on South Palm Canyon and Arenas.
New designer furnishings, sparkling cocktail rings, vintage jeans and shirts for moms, teens, boys, and flirts. Area rugs and stylish bedding design your wedding. Shiny knickknacks and glam Hollywood throwbacks. You'll find it here at Revivals. Voted best of the Valley thrift stores. Now with even more new treasures, plus one-of-a-kind consignment and estate items. Fashion, accessories, furniture, it's all in store at Revivals. Find it here. Visit us at RevivalStores.com to find a Revival store near you.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Snow. Many of you know that I am HIV positive. I'm living powerfully with HIV because I benefit from the services of the Desert AIDS Project in Palm Springs, California, and I'm very happy to bring you this news from another grateful client of Desert AIDS Project.
I'm more proactive with my health now, I think, than I was before. And I think that's because there's other people that are being proactive with me. You know, there's people that are interested and concerned about it.
A lot of services that are very difficult to access to HIV-infected patients are gathered within one roof. We do have access to substance abuse counselor, mental health services, psychiatrists. We have dental service programs. We have nutritional programs, housing, case management. Very unique in the nation that all the programs, including medical services, are administered within one facility.
Coming here, I felt just an amazing amount of love from Desert AIDS Project. They are people who just care in the community, people who want to put a hand out and say, let me hold yours. And I think that makes all the difference in the world.
For more information, visit desertaidsproject.org.
This is the Snowbiz Now Entertainment Network, connecting the circuitry of humanity.
I want to especially thank my advertisers. Of course, you hear their commercials during the program, but for their contact information and links to their websites, and for information about how to advertise your business, simply visit NicholasSnowLive.com and look for the advertisers link in the main submenu.
It's time for our event spotlight. Here he is, shining his global media spotlight on the events of the day, Nicholas Snow.
So I do have a global event spotlight, which means that if you have an event anywhere in the world that you want to promote in this regular segment on my show, all you have to do is go to NicholasSnowLive.com, click on the event spotlight in the submenu, and there's a form there for you to submit your information to me. Because I actually live in Palm Springs, California, a lot of the events that I'm notified of are local, and a lot of the events that my show is a media sponsor of are also local. In the event spotlight section at NicholasSnowLive.com, you'll read all about the Pantages Theater in Hollywood. It's fantastic. You'll hear about the goings-on of the local organizations that I love, including the LGBT Community Center of the Desert, also known as the Center, and Greater Palm Springs Pride, and the Desert Business Association. All of these organizations have ongoing activities that you're going to want to know about. Now, you've already heard a bit about it in today's show, but February 7th, 2015, are the annual Steve Chase Awards. This year, the MC is Mario Cantone. You know him from Sex and the City and The View. It's going to be a really, really fantastic event. It's a prime highlight of the desert community's social season. And I'm going to be on the red carpet, if the carpet is red, who knows what color it will be, with my periodic co-host and good friend, Kristen Johnson. So you're going to want to stay tuned for our great coverage of that event. On Saturday, March 7th, 2015, is the fourth annual Red Dress Party. It's the hottest dance party of the season, being held at the coolest place in Palm Springs, Snapshot Palm Springs, on Saturday, March 7th, beginning at 8 p.m., benefiting the LGBT Community Center of the Desert. And you'll be surprised who wears red dresses, or simply dress red. It's up to you. March 26th through the 30th, 2015. The local American Documentary Film Festival, named one of the world's top 25 film festivals worth the entry fee by Movie Maker Magazine, and then one of the world's five coolest documentary film festivals, also by Movie Maker Magazine. It's a fantastic event that's happening March 26th through 30th, 2015. Everything I just talked about is available at NicholasSnowLive.com. Just look for Event Spotlight in the main submenu. So that's our Event Spotlight, and I'm going to be back in about 2.5 minutes with our special guest, Jake Knight, after this.
If you're one of my regular listeners, you've heard what's coming next, so thank you for your patience. But it's important for me to share the following information with my new listeners, so here goes. Since this podcast launched in early July 2012, it's been a big hit. Listened to on average over 55,000 times a month, and surpassing almost 1.7 million downloads as of late December 2014. This means that sometime in the year 2015, I'll be able to truthfully proclaim that this podcast has had millions of listeners worldwide. Thank you for being one of them. Nicholas Snow Live features long-form interviews with fascinating, creative, and transformative people from all walks of life, as well as compelling event coverage and news of ongoing adventures in the world of travel and entertainment. This isn't changing, but what has changed is that I now put my listeners, that's you, and your viewpoints, in the spotlight at the beginning of virtually every new episode of the show, so we can discuss and reflect upon the hottest topics of the day. My show is about connecting the circuitry of humanity, and I want to be connected with you, and in turn, allow you to connect with my worldwide audience. I'm excited that in addition to the audio podcast, I'm now doing live video broadcast on my YouTube channel, and I'm inviting your participation via Google Plus Hangouts. To share your views with my audience, you need to know when I'm going on the air. So please follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google, YouTube, The Huffington Post, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, LinkedIn, Clout, and of course on iTunes. Simply go to NicholasSnowLive.com and click on the social networks link in the main submenu. You may also tweet me directly at TheNicholasSnow or like my page at Facebook.com/NicholasSnowLive. And now, on with the show.
Compelling, intriguing, a mover and shaker, cutting edge, ahead of their time, a groundbreaker, in the news, worthy of the spotlight, amazing, informative, creative, and maybe even controversial. It's time for The Interview on Nicholas Snow Live.
And as Rachel Maddow would say, it's time for The Interview. The theme in this episode, gay, spiritual, and religious, with author Jake Knight. Jake Knight knows about what he speaks. As this episode goes live, he's 50 years old. He's been out of the closet as a gay man since age 27. He lived in the Castro in San Francisco for 18 years. He learned transcendental meditation as a child, studied post-Civil War American religious thought at the University of Virginia, and has been a student of the collective spirits known as Abraham of Abraham Hicks. He's spiritual. Jake has also read the whole Bible and believes in Jesus. Many would call that religious. Jake has found a way to understand all three of these understandings of life and sees them as perspectives of the same truth, that every person adds to the world and that the opportunity we all have is to add more as we each individually wish. It's a tall order, so let's hear what he has to say. Jake Knight, the author of two books currently available on Kindle, Seven Ways to Think and Feel Better, and Deciding What You Want. Welcome to the show, Jake Knight. How's it going, Jake?
It's going great, Nicholas. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, thank you. I know we've been talking for a long time about having you on the show, and I'm really happy that we finally made it happen. So thank you for your patience.
The old kismet. I'm very glad that it worked out and worked out well. Thank you.
My pleasure. So I personally think that religion and spirituality are two absolutely different things. What's your take on that?
I think you're probably not far off. I'm wondering what you mean by that, so I'm going to ask you to explain a little bit.
Well, I think that there are people that are completely immersed in religion that have no concept of spirituality and no overt manifestation of it.
And that means that if I'm reading into what you're saying correctly, and correct me if I'm not, the idea that being religious is necessarily following form and what might be considered by some as outdated structure or just sort of not particularly helpful or useful in the broader perspective of being spiritual. Does that make any sense? Is that what you're sort of saying?
Well, I think religion can really empower spirituality, but I don't think that religion is inherently spiritual. That's my take. What do you think are the similarities and differences between religion and spirituality?
Well, I would think that spirituality has to do with being in connection with the greater being, that which is, which I understand and speak of as sort of God, source, universe, and I often use the term that which is, because I believe that life, that old thing that Jeff Goldblum talked about in Jurassic Park, that life finds a way, that life is implicit and present everywhere. And I think that has to do with a spiritual understanding. Would that be in accord with what you're thinking?
Not necessarily. I haven't really got into it really more deeply than that, but let's focus on your point of view.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. Let me say what I'm trying to say in another way. There are lots of religious people who think they're spiritual and they're spewing hate and oppression in virtually everything they do. And I think that people who are truly authentically connected to their spiritual greater higher power, that people who are truly connected and living that energy are going to be inherently loving and of service.
Yes, I would agree with that. I don't see it necessarily as a dichotomy, as one versus the other. I see it as sort of a matters of degree, so that people, in a quasi, in somewhat of a religious understanding, in a biblical understanding, it's talk in the New Testament, we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, which is being patient, kind, generous, and those are good and loving, obviously. And those are very much the manifestations of someone who's connected with themselves and, in my perspective, with a greater world as well. So, yes, and there are many, many religious people, it would certainly seem, and certainly it's been my experience as well, who are not particularly evidencing those characteristics. And there may even be some spiritual people who are not always evidencing those characteristics either. I think it can be both people who are spiritual and who are religious can sort of go either way. I sort of have to add here, I added the religious understanding as sort of a helping to more greater, sort of a plug for my topic and to sort of suggest my topic. The idea of religion is, my understanding of a biblical understanding, and from that perspective, is not very traditional. And it would be considered by many people who consider themselves religious and or spiritual, not particularly orthodox or religious. So I did sort of add it in there to say that what I'm suggesting is this, in the bigger picture, that the basic idea of life and the force and good are present pretty much in lots of different forms, including in people who are gay, spiritual, and religious, or any one of those three. Does that make any sense?
No, completely. I know what you're saying. Just the point that I was making is that there are lots of people who are religious, I personally believe are not spiritual. And I think that the greatest manifestation of religion on our planet as we see it overtly really lacks any obvious identifiable spirituality. I don't believe that one is separate from the other. I do believe that religion can definitely help people get in touch with spirituality, but I think in often cases religion fails in doing so.
So you're sort of separating religion from spirituality.
I'm not separating religion from spirituality, but I'm saying that many of the great world religions, in the way they express themselves, are void of spirituality.
And I think there are certainly expressions within many, if not all, the great religions that are very clearly helpful and useful as well, I think, in our time, at different times as well.
Completely. I don't think you're hearing me. I believe that religion has a great a great ability to connect people with their spirituality. But I think a lot of religions and religious people are completely void of spirituality. And therefore, a lot of people... Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. To make myself more clear, I'm sorry. The thing that I would suggest there is that no one finally, my understanding, my take of it is that no one finally is devoid of a spiritual connection, even if they believe that they aren't, or even if they act in a way that is not a way that I see anything that's particularly spiritual. It simply may be at a lesser degree that there is a possibility of being more, not more religious, not even more spiritual, but more awake, more alive with the greater sense of life itself. Does that make any sense?
No, you completely make sense to me, but I think
that
religion always spews hate. Religion has the ability to spew hate, but people who are truly connected to spirituality authentically in a sustained way, are very rarely going to be hateful.
Yes.
And there's a huge distinction between spirituality and dogma. And
yes.
We've kind of got off on a tangent there, but everything's meant to be. So tell me, rather than talking about what you believe today, tell me what sort of spiritual and religious environment you grew up in and how your sort of take on the topic evolved.
Great. Thank you for asking. And sure, I'd be happy to. I grew up largely in an Episcopal background. Episcopal denomination of the Christian religion is fairly broad in its understanding of the Scripture and of God, and believes that God is revealed in many different ways. And so I grew up in that context. I became, though, when I was in high school, I became an evangelical Christian, who are evangelicals, and I was an evangelical for about 10 years. Evangelicals tend to be much clearer about what they believe, and a general tenet of the evangelical faith is that the Scripture, that the Bible is infallible, however they define it, which everybody has their own little definition of what that means. They basically say that it's infallible, meaning to say that there's no contradiction within it. That is something that I believed for a while, and I tried to make it fit, but also it didn't really fit with me, in the sense that I also realized at the time when I was a teenager and growing up in my early 20s that, turns out I'm gay. And I'm attracted to men, and there's really not much that is going to change that. I tried going out with women. I tried the normal thing. And even for a while, I went to ex-gay ministries, one that's now defunct called Exodus, that you may have heard about, others may have heard about. And it was at that ministry that I met my first boyfriend. And so from there, it was a very, very, very difficult split within me, because I had this one dogmatic understanding, which you have spoken of before, in the religious understanding of evangelical Christianity. And I also had my personal experience. And I believe that, you know, if God exists, which I believed he did, then he's not going to make me have these feelings if there's not something that there's something good about it. And it was a very difficult time. But through that, in a period of time, I then moved from there. After a few years, serious years, I moved to a place of like, okay, well, I'm going to try. I've tried the evangelical route for a while, and then I'm going to try, as it were, the gay route. And that's why I moved to San Francisco. I don't think the two are absolutely mutually exclusive, but I think it's a tricky road to walk to be in, to be fully identified with both parties at the same time. Does that make some sense?
Completely. Well, it's your story. You know, it is.
Yeah.
It's a presentation of a series of facts that I do understand. And interestingly, you and I have a certain amount in common, which I don't know if we talked about before, but I was also raised in the Episcopal Church. I then went through my own evangelical Christian born-again stage. When I came out, I got involved with a a gay-friendly MCC church that was evangelical in itself. And ultimately, I expanded into new thought, new age beliefs. And most recently, I've spent a long time in 12-step programs. I'm not public. I publicly identify what programs I'm in because it's a tradition in those programs that we don't do that. But in 12-step programs, people basically choose their own higher power. And my current spiritual philosophy is articulated as this. I embrace any part of any teaching that celebrates the universal equality of humanity, and I reject any part of any teaching that in order to be right has to make other people wrong.
Mm-hmm. That seems like a pretty wide way to approach it in my book.
That's my take on it.
Yeah, that makes. I think what it sometimes is sometimes not understood that I myself didn't understand until the past few years ago, actually, is to realize that really everyone has their own belief structure, regardless. I mean, even if one looks at people who are in, let's for example, an evangelical background. Let's say they go to a Presbyterian Church, PCA, Presbyterian Church in America, which is a more evangelical, stricter wing of the Presbyterian Church. Let's say that someone is a participant in the PCA Church. Even within those PCA folks, everyone, even though they say and they are true to an extent that they believe the same things, they each have their own shades of meaning, and they each have their own beliefs. I guess the way I can best describe this is by a woman I know who is a solid believer, goes to church. She believes in Jesus. She goes. And she came back after a sermon one time and was explaining to me how she didn't listen to that particular story that day because she just didn't believe it. Because this one story, this one incident in Jesus' life didn't make any sense to her. So she had just decided she wasn't going to believe it. And at that point, when I heard this, her telling me this, probably about 6 or 7 years ago, it dawned on me, everyone does the same thing. We have to choose based on our experience what we believe is a better thing to believe, even if no belief is a better thing for us to believe. We have to choose our own belief structure. And that, I think, is the point, is to choose what we believe, to choose what serves us. And that is part of the whole plan of creation and the expansion of creation.
Basically, every organized religion on the planet has ended up, LGBT members of that religion have ended up developing their own safe churches, congregations, and even entire denominations, such as the Metropolitan Community Church, the Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Church. There are LGBT synagogues. In addition, what we see now in the miracle of the expanding consciousness on the planet is mainstream religions that are embracing the diversity of the LGBT community and welcoming us with open arms. When you were in San Francisco, had you just kind of completely rejected a sort of a born again spiritual perspective and rebelled, or did you just carry it on yourself, believing that that God knew more than the people that had told you to, for example, have contempt for yourself because you were gay?
Right. Thank you for asking. It's when I made it to San Francisco in 93 and moved there, and that's where I lived for 18 years, for most of that time, for the first 15 years, 16 years there, I was a fairly committed agnostic, and at times I flirted with and I tried to be an atheist. I was very much in the here and now, very much sort of a what you see is what exists, sort of the materialistic, not in the materialistic sense of gaining just lots of possessions, but the materialistic sense of what exists is only that which we can see and touch. And I sort of followed that thinking and that philosophy. I barely cracked a Bible in probably all those years. I mean, if I cracked it five times, that's four more than I remember. So I decided that, you know, that way, the evangelical approach was not one that really fit with who I knew myself to be. And so I was going to try something else. And so I did an experiment. I mean, I was a scientist. I had a partner who was a scientist. We were together for 7 years. He's a big-wig scientist. And I basically lived an experiment of working with myself to see, okay, I'm going to live as someone who's not going to commit one way or the other and who's just sort of going to go with what I believe and be as, quote, if I can say it this way, be as gay as I could be. And I was. I mean, it was really fun and very much a great learning experience. And there's another part of the story, which I'll tell you in a minute as you're interested. But does that answer that question?
Go right ahead. Tell me the rest of the story.
Okay, so what happened eventually is that around 06, my mother died. I received an inheritance. I had a pile of money. I had no debts. San Francisco apartment, rent-controlled, good apartment, a really great area, right on the edge of the Castro near Dolores Park. And I had a wonderful, really good guy who was my partner, a great guy, and who was smart and accomplished and cute and just everything was right. And it wasn't enough. I had a good job. I liked my job, but I really wanted to find something that made sense for me, and my job wasn't enough. So through a series of circumstances, things changed at my workplace, and there was an opportunity for me to get out, and so I did. And I started a process for the next few years trying to find out how I was going to make a living, what I was going to do, change my career, my career path. And it got to a point on a morning in July of 2011, probably towards the end of the month. I mean, I know it was at the end of the month. It may have been the 30th, it may have been the 31st. When I woke up, and the first things out of my mouth were, I'm moving to L.A. And I said those words without my head. My head had not signed off on this. My head didn't say these words. They came out of my mouth for sure, but there wasn't a conscious thought involved. And so whether it's a subconscious thought or some sort of spiritual thing going on, it actually doesn't matter. The point is that some other part of me or outside of me, through me, said, I'm going to move to L.A. Before then, I had no particular desire to live in L.A. I thought I was going to live in San Francisco the rest of my life, and everything was going to be great that way. But I decided that, I said to myself, Knight, my last name being Knight, are you going to listen to this? This is something that's unusual that's happened in my life. Am I going to pay attention to this and run this experiment? Because the experiment that I'd run before hadn't really given to me personally, any enormously strong, lasting satisfaction. So I decided to do that. And that's how I've wound up down here in Southern California.
When did you actively connect to a new spiritual teaching or awareness post-born-again Christianity that served you?
Right. Well, before that time, and about the year before I had this voice, before I said these words, maybe before they came out of my mouth, I had been involved a little bit with Unity Church, which has a pretty broad understanding of Christianity and a non-Orthodox approach. And I'd gone a few times, and that would have been interesting. I had, as a kid, I should back up a little bit, or not back up, but mention that I had studied, my whole family had done transcendental meditation, and that I was very also connected with the idea that there was a greater spiritual connection with the world as a kid, beyond a traditional religious understanding, too. So I sort of went through this period when I was in San Francisco, most of my time in San Francisco, when I tried to step away from it. But then I started coming back into it. But I really didn't come into a greater understanding and appreciation for biblical things until I started listening to and paying really great attention to a woman named Esther Hicks, who speaks in the group of, she's on YouTube, a lot of YouTubes, and she speaks for this group of collective spirits called Abraham, not Abraham from the Bible, but another Abraham, presumably. And she has a lot of new thought, new thinking, new spirituality that is believed by her and by many of her followers comes through her, and that she speaks pretty amazing stuff. And it was, to answer your question more directly, it was through my experience with her and listening to her that I was also able actually to understand more of what Jesus was saying in the New Testament and say, wow, what he was saying was not what other people were telling me he was saying. I think he's saying something differently. I think Jesus is the way for those who believe that he's the way, but I don't think he's a requirement. I don't think it's required to believe in any particular faith or denomination. I think it's an option, and it's one of the ways that which is the Great Spirit has revealed itself to me through this tradition.
You know, the first time I ever heard about Abraham Hicks, you know, I think that we should reveal how you and I even know each other, because it's kind of uncanny the way that you and I ever began to talk in the first place. My show is on the Blog Talk Radio Network. You were exploring launching your own show. For a period of time, I was engaged by the network to do host training because my show has been so successful. And in the process of you deciding to become a host, you signed up for this training and were randomly connected to me. And even though I wasn't in town at the time, we both lived in Palm Springs and ultimately got together for a first lunch at a Subway.
Yep. It's pretty remarkable, really, when you think about it. I mean, Palm Springs doesn't have that many people. And there you were.
Well,
I had no idea.
And considering that this is a worldwide online platform on which we connected.
Yes. Yes.
In a way that wasn't regionally or locally specific. And here we are, you know, now having had several lunches. And at any rate, I just think that it's uncanny. But I love this. I personally love, embrace, and welcome and expect serendipitous things to happen in my life on an ongoing, powerful basis.
Yes. I think they do for all of us. The serendipity, sometimes that we meet things that we, in an Abraham Hicks understanding, we bring in, we attract sometimes things that we don't think we want or don't want, yet we still attract them into our lives as well. And, so it works. It works for something that's obviously good and something that's not so obviously good. But, yes, both ways. Absolutely.
The first time I ever heard about Abraham Hicks was when you mentioned Abraham Hicks. And recently I actually signed up for the Abraham Hicks Facebook page, which has 250,000 likes. It's Abraham-Hicks, H-I-C-K-S, if anyone wants to search it. And a commonly used hashtag is hashtag Abraham Hicks without a hyphen. But I just want to read a few thoughts, quotes of the day from the Facebook page, and then have you comment on them.
Please.
You cannot control circumstances. You never intended to control circumstances. You intended to discover unconditional love. You intended to discover a way to feel good no matter what, because you have the facility, you have the power, you have the ability to focus.
That,
have any thoughts on that?
I think it resonates very well. I think that in my understanding of things, I think we do have some control sometimes over some circumstances. I don't think we're cast adrift entirely, but I very much appreciate the idea of us acting and seeking to feel good. It is with Abraham Hicks, it's a very, very strong reoccurring theme, the idea that it's not only okay to feel good, it's good to feel good, and that's what we were made to do. And there's in a broad perspective, there's really not very much difficulty with that. I mean, people would add that I don't have very much difficulty with that. I think it's good. I think we do that. I think we do seek out what we want to find, and that we do attract it into our lives. And even at times when people have just miserable lives, and I certainly have had some miserable scrapes in my life in different times, you know, car accident, drunk driver hitting me with the car, blah, 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 different things that have happened. And I didn't really want that, yet it occurred in my life, and I can understand it as good things coming out of that, even in that midst. So I've gotten a little bit into the weeds here, but I think that is a powerful statement, and it is very, very good to feel good. I think that joy is fundamental bedrock, and I think that crosses over into biblical understanding. Jesus saying, "I've come to bring you abundant life." It comes across to a utilitarian understanding too of simply living well within one society. And
Next quote by Abraham Hicks: "You are the creator of your own reality because you are the chooser of the thought right now."
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's absolutely true. I think we do create our own reality, and at the same time, the basic idea I have is that we're all in the universe. It's a closed system. We can't get out of the universe. We can't make our way out of it. And within that, we have decisions about how we're going to perceive different situations. And I mean, there's a famous story of the guy who was in the Japanese prison camp for 7 years, and he was sensory deprived, and he could only tap to his neighbor, and they could communicate. They figured out a code to tap, speak, and that was it. And he spent his whole time there imagining building a house. So he built his house with brick, and he built the house, and he counted the number of bricks that he would build his house with, and then he would decide to reorganize the house, and then he rebuilt it, and he counted the number again. And he did it for 7 years. It kept him sane. And when he got out of prison, when he was released at the end of the war, he went and he actually built the house. He has remarkable peace. He does not complain or have a problem with the 7 years that he spent in confinement. He doesn't wail or moan or complain about it. But he created what the house that he wanted to live in, and then, in fact, he, when Abraham talked, he manifested it. He caused it to brought it into being. So there's a lot to be said for that. I think it is true. I don't think there's a caveat, if I may add. There's a caveat there, a big one, which is that some people believe that we live in a completely illusionary world. I don't think that so really at all. I think that the forms that we see are, as we understand from metaphysics, and actually from quantum physics, are energy that has been brought into actual physical being, and that the stuff that we see and touch and feel is very real. It's just that it's always changing and always passing, and we are too. And so within that idea that Abraham talks about, that we have this perception that it's not that we can simply do it like we're bewitched or something, or more fun, I dream a genie and go boing with our arms crossed over our head and then create things into being, but that we really see what we want to see, and we help by our actions and by our intentions, and by our we helped other people to bring in what we're creating, things that we're imagining. Have I made any sense?
Oh, no, you make complete sense to me. I don't believe that our current world is an illusion either. So I'm going to read a couple more slides. I'm not going to have you comment on them, though, but I just want to read them out loud. Every emotion that you feel, good or bad, is about the relationship between your current thought and the understanding of the source within you on the same topic. And here's one I love. You came forth to live happily ever after. I love that one. I'm going to take a quick break, Jake. And when we come back, I want you to tell me about your two books available on Kindle, 7 Ways to Think and Feel Better and Deciding What You Want, 2 separate books by Jake Knight, available on Amazon or Kindle after this.
I'm Nicholas Snow, and I'm living powerfully with HIV. I write about this in my memoir, Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart. The book is dedicated to the tens of millions of people in the world living with HIV, most of whom do not yet know their status, to everyone who fights for us, and to those who still fear us. From Hollywood to Bangkok to Bali and beyond, including Kuala Lumpur and Palm Springs, with profound expansion to Singapore, Mumbai, and throughout all of Asia, Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart, could easily be titled Eat, Pray, Disclose. Life Positive, A Journey to the Center of My Heart, is available in paperback and for Kindle at Amazon.com and in paperback at LifePositiveBook.com. Remember, fight for the life and the world of your dreams until you have no life left in this world, for then you will have truly lived. I want to especially thank my advertisers. Of course, you hear their commercials during the program, but for their contact information and links to their websites, and for information about how to advertise your business, simply visit NicholasSnowLive.com and look for the advertisers link in the main submenu.
This is the Snowbiz Now Entertainment Network. Connecting the circuitry of humanity.
And I'm back in the home stretch of my interview with Jake Knight. The theme is gay, spiritual, and religious. And Jake, as you clearly well know, we could speak for hours and hours every day on this topic and never run out of things to say. But I'm really enjoying the conversation. Tell me about your two books in whatever order you would like. And I'd love to hear about them.
Great, thank you. Thanks for this conversation and stepping into these somewhat deeper waters. That I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it, and I thank you, listeners, for your interest in it as well. These two books are two perspectives, somewhat different perspectives of the same thing. And it kind of goes back to, what is the last quote that, do you have the last quotation that you read that about life being joy from Abraham Hicks?
You came forth to live happily ever after?
Yes. Yes, I believe that. I absolutely believe that. And I believe that it can be known and found through different, maybe not traditions, but certainly going back to the source documents as best we can from what the original major religion founders have said, and like we can found out today, we don't need to go to the major religions. We don't have to be a religious person at all, I believe, to be in contact with things. And that brings me right to my books. 7 Ways to Think and Feel Better was really influenced by my time studying with Abraham and Abraham Hicks. It has a lot to do with 7 thoughts, and some of which are probably familiar to many, such as I am thankful, I take care of myself, the purpose of my life is joy. Those may be more familiar thoughts. Another one such as comfort and convenience are your friends, but they're not your best friends. And another thought would be that everyone in your life is a gift, even the people that you don't particularly like. And so I go through 7 different thoughts that have been extremely helpful for me to bring me to a place of feeling stably better. And not just me, many other people that I've had the opportunity to speak with and that have read my books and that have listened and we've had discussions. And people do as they should do. They pick and they choose what they like of the 7 that resonate, and then they adopt them into their life. What's really good about the book, 7 Ways to Think Better, are not just the thoughts, which I think are very helpful and will be helpful for many people, can be helpful for many people, but also the idea of practice. It's great to think of something and to have a really good thought, but I found it in my own life and certainly also seen it in others that lots of times people have lots of great ideas or lots of good, hopeful ideas, but then they don't really pursue them They don't bring those thoughts into their own belief structure. In other words, they sort of let it be a thought, wouldn't it be nice if, but they don't practice it, meaning they don't say it out loud, they don't live like it, they don't bring it into a subconscious level where it becomes a habit and where it becomes a belief, so that then they live from that place. And this book, Seven Ways to Think and Feel Better, also talks about how to bring something into a practice so that one can move beyond simply hearing great news but not changing one's life, but then hearing great news and saying, oh, I'm going to try that out, do a scientific experiment and say, I'm going to try that and I'm going to see if it works, I'm going to try it for 30 days, that sort of thing. So that's what that book is about. The second book is called Deciding What You Want. Does that make sense what I said so far? Sometimes I don't even know.
Well, for many people it will make sense, and for others it won't. For me it did.
Yeah. Okay, great. Fairly said. And I think we each have our own ways and our own path. So that's one. The other one is called Deciding What You Want. And it's looking at two stories that Jesus tells. They're called parables. In the book of Luke, it's one of the four Gospels, which means one of the four stories that tells the story of Jesus.
You're fading away or something.
There's a bit
of a problem with your connection. That's okay.
Okay.
I think it's fixed.
Better now?
So that's great, yes.
Am I okay now? Great.
You are,
yes. Thank you for telling me as well. And this is it's really... whatever one's faith stance, whether you think Christianity is bunk, or whether you think never mind Christianity, whether you think Jesus is bunk or not, or whether this actually happened or not, or as it says it's not, it's actually sort of not that important. The important thing, I think, is looking at the words and saying, what does it say to me now? Does this say something to me? Does this story resonate with me? If it doesn't resonate with one, well, then, of course, you shouldn't want to pay attention to it because it doesn't ring any bells. Okay, don't pay any attention to it. That's great. I understand it. That's perfect. But these stories have resonated with people for a couple of millennium now, and they may resonate with some of the people who decide to read it. Anyhow, this story is in Luke 15, and there's two different stories, and the most famous one is one about a shepherd who's got a sheep, and then he leaves most of the sheep. He leaves 99 sheep to go after one sheep that's gone its own way. And the interpretation that I get out of it is not an orthodox interpretation. It's not the usual, it's not generally understood as a Christian interpretation, because I believe that the idea that Jesus, in this book talks about that, the idea that's coming from the story is that we are supposed to decide what we want to go after it. And in that going after it, then there is goodness. There's the opportunity to be with friends and neighbors and a party at the end. And it's the sheep that goes astray, that follows its own path, that is that's the sheep to be lauded, the sheep to be like, to be more like, for those who want to follow it. So that was Deciding What You Want. And those are the two books.
Okay, so Seven Ways to Think and Feel Better, and also Deciding What You Want, available on Amazon for Kindle, by Jake Knight. Knight is spelled K-N-I-G-H-T. Is there anything you would like to... Yes, exactly. Is there anything you'd like to discuss that we haven't addressed yet?
I want to commend you and thank you, Nicholas, for you standing in your own strength. And I really... I read your... I read the book, Life Positive, and I felt to know much more and better of you and my esteem for you. I mean, I'm not just saying this. My esteem for you was raised by the things and the decisions you made and the life that you've decided and your beliefs and your following of your beliefs and I really appreciate that and knowing that in you. And so I just want to say thank you for that.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that you took the time to do that, and you also were kind enough to review it, so I appreciate that. The theme of this show, which kind of evolved, is connecting the circuitry of humanity. And so I'm really glad that this higher power that we both believe in, although we might at times describe it differently, but we believe in and acknowledge it brought us together.
Yeah.
And I, one of, you know, I talked about 12-step programs being a cornerstone for me, and philosophies in the programs are let go and let God do the next indicated thing. Remember that we are powerless over people, places, things, and circumstances for the most part, but we are not powerless over our perspectives. And
yes,
we can always choose to take action. We're always in a decision-making mode.
Yeah.
That in and of itself, when deeply grounded and rooted and cosmically so, is transformative.
Yes. I'm so with you. And there are as many ways to live life as there are people on the planet. And I think the greater joy is each of us finding our own way. And that will mean happily being and working with many other people oftentimes. But there will also be sometimes when it's just us individually who just, you know, alone in our bed at night at times, just say, this is what I'm going to decide to believe. This is how I'm going to live my life. And I think it's a wonderful thing.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show, and congratulations. I look forward to the next time our paths cross. And immediately after the show, I'll post this episode to your Facebook page. And anyone listening to this episode who comes across it, please share it with your friends to support Jake and his books. So thanks again, Jake. I'll leave
Thank
it with you,
Nicholas,
for a last word.
It.
You're welcome. Any last words of wisdom?
Life. The purpose of life is joy. And the question is, how do we experience more of it, share more of it, create more of it in the world? And lots of ways to do it. And I would encourage listeners to do what they can to experience it more themselves and to help others experience it more.
Very well said. Thanks again, Jake, for being on the show. I want to thank all of you for listening. And that is a great phrase to wrap up with. The purpose of life is joy. Say that three times fast. Actually, don't have to say it fast. But why don't you throw in a personal pronoun? The purpose of my life is joy. Say that out loud. The purpose of my life is joy. The purpose of my life is joy. I'll see you next time.
I try to remember that what people think of me is none of my business, but OMG, have you heard what they're saying about me and my show?
It's pornography!
No. The Supreme Court says it's not.
He's sick.
He is widely regarded as the finest satirist of his time.
Yeah, well, I think he's a pervert. Probably a communist, too.
Endorse promiscuity, godlessness, the mongrelization of the races, and disrespect to high-ranking officers of the United States Army. And that is why right-thinking school boards all across the country have been banning this man.
This is the Snowbiz Now Entertainment Network. Connecting the circuitry of humanity. You have been listening to Nicholas Snow Live, produced and copyrighted by Nicholas Snow Productions, LLC. To be alerted of new episodes moments before we go on the air, be sure to follow @TheNicholasSnow on Twitter. To receive promotional videos about upcoming broadcasts and to be invited to special hangouts, follow us on Google Plus. Linked prominently at NicholasSnowLive.com, where you'll also find the archive of all of our episodes. That's NicholasSnowLive.com. Thank you for being a part of the snowstorm. We're honored by your presence.